News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know, we start this hour with a history moment, but we've been doing history moment. Melissa, you've been all over the radio, but we have a half a dozen of those running.
I remember the first time I said, Jackson, you guys need to do history moments. And he goes, you do it. I went, okay.
Yeah, well, hey.
And I taught myself how to record. And
well, no, we cooked that up way back in the day, and I had to convince Leon to do it. So
yeah.
I went to him and said, hey, you want to do this?
But
and
it was one of those typicals, you do it. I mean, you get always people suggesting, you need to do it. And I'm glad I did.
Well, I cooked it up. So you had a place in history there at that time, and here we are now. And this hour here, we're going to put you on again, and you're doing this for the El Paso History Alliance. And your history moment today is about a horse and rider versus a big wheel velocipede.
A velocipede.
Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Is that a dinosaur?
Yeah, I know. It sounds like some of, like a raptor.
A horse and rider versus a big wheel velocipede race in New Mexico in 1888 from Silver Spring to Deming.
Horsepower versus pedal power. Two El Paso gamblers, Doc Bolton and Jeff Clayton, along with Tommy Lyons, a Silver City cattleman, were drinking in the Timmer Hotel Bar after a 4th of July horse race in Silver City, New Mexico in 1888. They bantered back and forth as to who was faster, a horse or the newfangled big wheel velocipede that was the new transportation rage of the day. Well, a challenge was put forth. Lyons would provide the best rider and horse, and Doc and Clayton would provide the velocipede racer to make up the match. And the purses for the race would be generous both in cash and in cattle. The race route would be a rough and tumble route of rocky roads and sand from Silver City to Deming, New Mexico, which was about 48 miles. And it would take a few months to line up both horse rider Billy King, a deputy from Tombstone, Arizona, and a top velocipede racer H.J. Kennedy from Colorado. Finally, in September, the race was fixed, and the news of this event had spread across the country, and spectators came from all over, and they lined the Silver City streets to watch the beginning of the race. Mayor Fleming's pistol shot off, and the race began. Kennedy on the velocipede jumped to the lead. Billy's horse was startled by the gunfire and bucked a while before coming to his senses, and off they went. The general impression was that the bicycle will beat the horse, and there was a great deal of money wagered. Kennedy was ahead of Billy until just outside Hudson Springs when Billy passed Kennedy and finished the race to Deming in 3 hours and 46 minutes, while the bicycle took another hour and 15 minutes longer. And a worn-out Billy was lifted from his horse and carried into the nearest bar to celebrate his victory over this soon-to-be-forgotten fad of the velocipede, or so they thought. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
And you are indeed an alliance.
Oh, yeah. But can you imagine it? Of course, it always starts out over a couple of drinks over the bar,
somehow.
You know? But, I mean, can you imagine? And just a note on and adding on to that was that Billy made a reference to this bicycle rider that he was going up hills like a goat. He said he couldn't figure out how he could do it so well on this bike because he actually got quite far ahead of him for quite a ways.
This is one of those things with a big, huge front wheel and a tiny little back wheel.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it is amazing because the story behind this could be a movie. I mean, you could make it a comedy melodrama movie.
You know, El Paso and the area is full of movie potential. It really is.
Yeah.
And you do this for the Alliance of 50,000 followers.
Yes, I do. This
call
crazy
somebody.
People out there. Yeah, give them a call. Give Bernie a call, you know, if you're interested. He's at 915-581-7920 to get involved with the Alliance or learn more information on history. And we also must remember other important people that are involved in history here. Remember an El Paso Win Facebook page that's managed by Barbara Given Bainey and her crowd. Yeah.
And they're cool. And if you use their photos, give them credit. They have moderators on that thing. Craig Hayes, Barbara is the administrator, chief owner of the site. And that's on Facebook, of course, El Paso That's a weird name. Remember in El Paso when?
I know. It's
Ken Weiss, Paul Levy,
makes
and
sense,
Bernie
but
Sargent.
It's a tongue tripper, yes.
All right. We got history on the brain. We got history on the phone. Her name is Beulah. Beulah Patricia Kidney, how are you?
I am so excited to join this
conversation.
Oh, good. I've heard that you all were talking about my man, and I want to set it straight.
Oh, please do.
Uh-oh.
We've got a lot
Uh-oh.
Going on here. And
come on, girls.
Patricia Kidney, you also do other people, but one of your best and most important ones is John Wesley's girlfriend, Beulah.
I bill that as John Wesley Hardin's woman.
And
tell us, how did he get to town and how did you show up with him? What was that all about?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we kind of have to set the stage as to his time. He had served time in prison for the killing of a deputy sheriff over in Comanche. But it was sort of the culmination of a lifetime of being a rebel's rebel during the time of Reconstruction after the Civil War. And he had the gift of gab, I guess. He was very charming and very good, very agile. And he believed in righting injustices. He felt the Reconstruction days very keenly. And so I think his temperament was that of he's going to stand up for what he thought was right no matter what. So all of that attitude earned him the reputation of being the fastest gun. And unfortunately, he was sentenced to 25 years of hard labor in the Huntsville prison, so in Texas. But he got out after doing 15 years and 8 months, and he turned his life around. He was rehabilitated, reformed. He did what prison did to people. It either makes you meaner or else it makes you see the error of your ways. And he became a lawyer as an example of that.
That makes sense. Go to prison, become a lawyer.
Yeah.
So he came to El Paso.
He just get used to his service.
He came to El Paso, I take it, to get away from all that history and that reputation.
He was trying. He had been set up a law practice in Gonzales, but then had some words with some people who were running for office and said, you know, if this guy wins, I'll leave town. Well, he left. The other guy won. And so he left town and kind of was making his way with family. He had a brother in Junction, Texas, and he made it that far. And he became involved in what he really liked to do, which was gambling and playing cards and having a good time. I met a beautiful, young, very young lady who was determined to win the affections of this John Wesley Hardin, who was so good-looking and so charming. She happened to be about 14 years old.
Oh, boy.
And he was 41 at that time.
The same numbers backwards. That's okay.
You're right.
There you go.
Right.
That's a perfect match.
Different like stories that. About it. From the photographs I've seen, she was what we would call today's Angelina Jolie, the bad girl look, the wild woman, but beautiful. But they got married, and then she decided it wasn't what she wanted, wouldn't have anything to do with it, and by some accounts, within a week, he took her back to her mom and dad and said, I can't do a thing with her.
Take this teenager off my hands.
Yes, please take her off my hands. You know, but he tried really hard to make it work, and she would not talk to him. She wouldn't talk to them. She went to her grave never, ever discussing that marriage or the reason she quit. And, in fact, was fiercely protective of her image about that. So no one ever really knew. And he didn't talk about it. He was a gentleman. He didn't talk about what it was. And I don't think he had a clue.
Well, how did Moroz fit into all that?
Well, then he comes on. He starts coming on. He gets a telegram from his cousin, Killin' Jim Miller, saying, "Hey, I'm involved in a trial out here in El Paso." And he was. It had been moved from Pecos, Texas, because he and Bud Frazier had been shooting at each other, legal, you know, sheriff and deputy, and got into all kinds of problems. And Pecos tried to get get them both. they didn't like either one of them. But anyway, the venue ended up being brought out here to El Paso. And Hardin came out just to kind of help his cousin in this matter. It still wasn't settled. It went on back over to another part of Texas, which I just cannot figure out all of that. I just leave that alone. Yeah. After all, as Beulah, that really doesn't involve me. My interest is that my husband was a cattle rustler from New Mexico, and we had run across the border to get away from the law. When we did that, we realized there was a $1,000 reward on my husband's head for that activity, horse thieving and cattle rustling. So he was in jail in Juarez, and he uttered some very famous last words. He said, "Beulah, go to El Paso and get me a lawyer." Well, you know, those were words he lived to die by, as it turned out.
Well, also, as it progressed along, John Wesley was challenged by a lot of people, and one of them was John Selman. We have a clip of that. Introduce that, if you would, Melissa.
Well, the second clip we have today is the recreation of the night the infamous gunfighter John Wesley Hardin was shot and killed in the Acme Saloon by Constable John Selman after weeks of bitter quarreling and threats between the two men. And Six Guns and Shady Ladies performed this at the old Franklintown Saloon. And this was for your video, Jackson, Gunfights of the Old West, which was produced by you and starred Six Guns and Shady Ladies.
Okay, John, beat that. That should be easy enough. Fill it up there, barkeep.
In those days, the men rolled dice for the drinks, a game called Ship, Captain, and Crew. And Hardin picked up the dice, rolled them down the bar, turned to a grocer standing beside him and said, "Brown, you've got 4 sixes to beat."
"Brown, you got 4 sixes to beat."
And at that moment, Constable John Selman walked through the door, fired shots.
"I ain't leaving till you're dead, Hardin."
The first one hit Hardin in the back of the head. The old gunfighter hit the floor flat on his back, stone dead, and a Western era had ended.
Oh, yeah, he was dead. And that was Leon Metz, of course, narrating that for us. That was in the year 2000.
Was it 2000? Yeah.
That's a 20-year-old video.
Gosh, darn it.
And that's actually online if you want to go see it for nada. We've got that at El Paso History TV. So, Patricia, I remember you were in that reenactment as well. And we were out there at the, what was that, the El Escondido?
The El Escondido restaurant was in front, and that was Franklintown, the old west town that was out there off of Montana. Which eventually ended up in East Texas over the hill.
Carnutus,
yes.
And some guy bought that, a developer who put fancy houses in the middle of nowhere with no utilities, apparently.
That was interesting.
And he moved that old town out there. He bought that. And he had the gall to call me up and say, "Hey, come out and promote this for us." I said, "I'm not interested. You just took our history out of town. To heck with you people." Anyway, but that's the history of that little video, and that's what we did. But, Patricia, that was an amazing video when we go back and look at what happened there.
Oh, my God. It was a lot of fun filming, too.
I remember somebody picked you up and walked away with you.
Well, I had been drunk and disorderly because Hardin and I, you know, we had a love-hate relationship. We need to back up a little. When my husband, Martin, sent me over the river to get a lawyer, well, very quickly, the lawyer got me, and we forgot about paying attention to my husband's legal problems. And so I had also crossed over with about $3,000 of Martin's money.
Ooh.
Ew, yeah. So I don't know if he was wanting me back or wanting the money. However, things escalated between the two. He became more and more agitated with he couldn't come across the river because if he did, he'd be killed or put in jail. And Hardin and I, in the meantime, we were these star-crossed lovers who just, when it was good, it was the top of the moon. But if it was bad, it was a lot of drunken acts, drunken behavior, threatening to kill each other, fussing and fighting. And what finally happened was he decided he had to go out of town on business. Well, I knew what kind of business he was up to because that's how I met him. So I was no one would pay attention to me because I was Hardin's woman. They knew he had a temper, and they would not. The guys wouldn't drink with me, you know. And I always said it really was not my fault that things got out of hand, because if Hardin had been in town and paid attention to me, I wouldn't have had to resort to getting drunk and disorderly. In fact, to emphasize my point, I even fired the gun off a couple of times there at that old English restaurant there that we had, little saloon and restaurant. Well, you know what? That was against the law.
Ah.
And that's John Selman Jr., who was a city policeman, had always been eyeing me and looking at me, trying to get me to pay attention to him because I, you know, my looks were legendary, I'll tell you that.
They still are, Beulah.
Of course. Bottom line is, Selman tried to arrest me, and he picked me up, and because I wasn't going to go willingly, you know. I mean, I've got enough vinegar in me and fight, so I'm just knocking the hell out of him and screaming and yelling, and he carried me right off to jail, and I warned him. If he would be sorry when John Wesley Hardin got back in town, because no one had the right to put their hands on John Wesley Hardin's woman.
And that's where they had a fight.
That's where it led to the confrontation on the street between Hardin and Selman, because he was furious that Selman's son had arrested his woman.
Oh, yeah.
And he felt like it was just a deliberate attack against him, because after all, he was the most noted gunfighter in Texas, and he had a reputation, and he was the kingpin. So all of that led to that argument between the two of them, and then that in turn led to the shooting there at the Acme Saloon.
We'll describe that in a bit. We got to take a break here, but that was actually I think you reenacted it correctly. That Hardin actually saw him coming in the mirror. Hardin was facing the bar with a mirror, and he saw behind him. Didn't have time to turn around. He took one in the back of the head. Oh, dear.
Oops.
We'll talk more about that in a minute. Call us up if you have a comment on this or you want to get involved or want to. No gunfights.
No gunfights.
But in the meantime, what's that number?
It's 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
A grand in your hand.
That would help out a ton.
Winner.
Amazing.
After winner.
This will be very helpful.
After winner.
Definitely keep me going until I hopefully go back to work soon.
You could be next.
This helps a lot.
Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. Brought to you by Comfort Keepers. In life, you learn an important message. Your age doesn't define you. You do. Comfort Keepers. Elevating the human spirit. ComfortKeepers.com.
iHeartRadio's new podcast, Forgotten Women of Juarez, investigates a series of murdered women that have haunted the U.S.-Mexico border for almost 30 years. The crimes suggest a wider conspiracy.
The fact that a lawyer is murdered in such a public way or call it an execution indicates that we're talking about something very big behind these murders.
Dive into the mystery and listen to Forgotten Women of Juarez on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Picture this. A shortage of fuel has closed your electric utility, or any other possible disaster devastated your town. You're out of power. No lights. No news. That's why federal and state agencies urge you to have an emergency radio. Now you can get a free Dynamo World Band Emergency Radio. This powerful radio lets you stay informed during any type of emergency. It doesn't even need batteries. It comes with a hand crank generator and super bright LED flashlight. The Dynamo Emergency Radio includes the NOAA Weather Band, a long-range AM receiver, a high-sensitivity FM band, and even a USB jack to charge cell phones or other devices. The Dynamo Emergency Weather Band Radio retails for almost $30, but Newsmax wants to make sure you get this radio. So check out the free offer for the emergency radio by going to gettheradio.com. That's gettheradio.com. Or call toll-free 877-NEWSMAX. That's 877-NEWSMAX. This radio could save your life. This offer may end soon, so order today.
They had snuck in the night and committed these murders. Nobody had a clue about who or a why.
You got eight people dead, and things like that don't usually happen in a small town. I mean, they don't usually happen anywhere. Somebody was trying to send a message. I don't think there can be any doubt about that.
They couldn't have written a more sinister story than what's playing out in Pike County, Ohio right now.
Find the Piketon Massacre on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring is challenging. Just ask Dylan Miskowitz, the COO of Cafe Altura.
We needed a director of coffee in order to move our products forward. It felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days.
We were very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Beulah Patricia Kidney Morose on the phone here, but also we got to let you know coming in next week, El Paso First Lady Adair Margo. She's written a book about Lydia Patterson Institute. She's on the program to explain that history, joined by historian and institute graduate Mario Sanchez, plus Socorro de Anda. She is president of the Lydia Patterson Institute right now. And they'll be on the phone and on the air next week. August 22nd, what was the Pueblo Revolt? Now, that's got to be one of the biggest things in the history of this area between Indians and everybody else. And that was in August of 1680. And it made a major impact on El Paso. All northern New Mexico Native Americans turned on their Spanish conquerors and killed many of them. All on one day, same time, boom, it's gone. The battles raged for days. The Spanish managed to get out of there and ran down the Camino Real to El Paso. New Mexico and Texas historian Troy Ainsworth will guide us through this major event in history, including how the Spanish went back to northern New Mexico and regained their territory. They tried several times. Interesting how they got it, finally got it done. August 20, and that's why the Indians have casinos now. They made deals up there. I'm not kidding you.
No, I know it was across the country.
August 29th, Bernie's back talking about A to Z history. Bernie Sargent reviewing the history of Labor Day in El Paso. And you said he's got some myths.
Myths and legends.
Myth. Oh, fair enough.
I'm having a hard time with that one today.
September 5, historian Al Borrego and Martha Vera, they will talk about the San Elizario Lecture Series and the San Elizario Festival and Conference. They have rescheduled that for September. September 12th, architect William Bilhelm, he's going to describe the renovation of the Plaza Hotel in downtown El Paso. He was instrumental in keeping much of the iconic historical items in the renovated hotel. And we think he may have a guest or two from the management down there. It'll be kind of fun to deal with. What do you got?
Well, we have Conversations on the Camino Real Speaker Series happening. It's a public event. It's hosted by the San Elizario Genealogy and Historical Society, and the first Sunday of the month, starting in September, on September 6th, they're going to have this is going to be 4 p.m., the Consul of Spain, Martha Vera, who's been a guest on this show.
And she'll be there on the 5th to talk about this.
Yeah, exactly. In one of the more remarkable stories that relate to Salinas Pueblo Missions National Monument is the story of Maria de Jesus de Agreda born in 1602, and she's the blue lady that everybody talked about.
Blue lady, blue nun.
There's different variations, and so it'll be real interesting to hear some because we've had people send us stuff. So I'm looking forward to that show.
We got an email from Sammy Sanchez, and he caught us at ephistory690@gmail.com, and he wanted to know what happened to the corral of the Westerners and something called the El Paso Landmarks. Do you think Beulah would know that?
Yeah, probably.
Beulah, do you know that?
I'm the deputy sheriff of the Corral of the Westerners.
Okay, so they're still around when they can, right?
Yes, we're hoping to have a program in September. We're tentatively scheduled for that, so stay tuned. It'll be announced, and it's on the third Friday in the evening, and we have it at the
Holiday Inn?
The Holiday Inn West at I-10. Yeah.
I-10 in Sunland Park. And also, what was the El Paso Landmarks that Sammy Sanchez asked?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's talking about.
I don't know
about that
one. Okay. Mm-mm. We'll find out maybe. Anyway, mm-hmm. Life goes on, Beulah, and the whole history of El Paso.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it is gunfight history. It's tough stuff, but that's the stuff that Western movies are made out of. And it's also famous stuff for like people like places like Tombstone. They had one 34-second gunfight, and we had 34 years of gunfights. I mean, so if you're up in that, and if you're in that league, that's history. We had a lot more than they did. What do you think?
Well, I think that number one, Tombstone deserves a tremendous amount of credit for sticking to their guns. No pun intended.
Oh yes, it was.
But talking and preserving their history. And there are those who say, well, it's just a money-making thing. Nevertheless, when you are there, you are walking back in history. You're on wooden boardwalks. You can hear the spurs jingling as the cowboys and the Old West comes alive. I mean, people dress up in that era. And everything is geared toward the preservation of their history, and it's an excellent example of what can be done.
And they have dirt streets, right?
The main street right in front where everything took place, I think, is sort of like a dirt kind of thing. It's been a while since I've been there. Honestly, I don't know about that.
I was there once. I think that's a dirt street.
But it's protected. I mean, it's one of those fine gravel that looks like dirt that they use.
Okay.
Yeah, no mud when it rains.
Thank goodness. We
don't get our skirts muddy when it rains over there.
Well, the reenactment business is something that you've been part of. I mean, you've been part of Six Guns and Shady Ladies since way back.
And this really started with me in 1992 when I heard Leon Metz talking about Concordia. And I think that he was talking about a walk through history that was coming up. It was going to be the second one, and they needed help. So I said, I can help. I'll do whatever. He was on the radio. I listened to the radio show all the time. And I became involved in that way, first portraying some proper people. And I was in the proper cast of women for a few years. And then when I became a divorcee, I suddenly found my wild side.
Nah.
And it started with going to John Wesley Hardin's grave August 19th of 1997. And I was invited to do this. Bobby McNellis had a little group that would meet at his saddlery, and then we'd all carpool over to the site, and we met at 10:30 at night. Now, I had been this professional woman who, you know, I was in bed by 10:30 at night, ready for my work day the next day. But here I am, dressed in Old West saloon-type girl clothing, with a bunch of guys in Old West clothes carrying live guns. We're out there drinking whiskey and making toast to John Wesley Hardin. I think Keith Weldon and Bobby, Ranger Dave, I think Don and Desi were part of it.
Yeah.
I don't quite recall. There are just a few. But I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into? However, I liked it. It was dark. There were no lights. We didn't have the lights around the cemetery.
You're wandering a cemetery at night about 10:30, 11 o'clock.
With a bunch of strange guys drinking whiskey and shooting off guns.
And you're doing this because that's the time of day that Hardin's demise occurred,
that's
right?
That's right.
A little after
and
11,
so,
I think, wasn't it?
All of us, and just about the time I'm thinking, this cannot get any weirder. Up rolls this old car. It was kind of clanking. The engine was clanking. Everything was clanking. And out of the dark into our little light came, I think it was Al Miston. He was dressed as Black Jack Pershing.
Oh, jeez.
And he had a saber.
I
thought, what? I like this. Whatever it is, I like it. That became my interest. I'd heard that people celebrated or honored Wes Hardin at night previously, and apparently it was Bobby's group that was doing this. So then in 1998, Bobby McNellis said, why don't you and Concordia take this thing on and make it a fundraiser? And we had just formed the Six Guns and Shady Ladies officially. And so Bernie and Melissa and all of us got our heads together. And that was the beginning, 1998.
Wow, long time ago.
Secret Society of John Wesley Hardin.
Ah, but it's not so secret.
It is not so secret.
And people can join that. And is this the one where you punch the card every time they come to that thing? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Melissa knows a little more about that. She's kind of in charge of that part.
Yeah, it's a little fundraiser for Concordia Cemetery, a little side one where you buy your membership for $5. Then each year you come back, you pay a little bit more membership, and you get another punch in your card. And at the end, you would get a John Wesley Hardin coffee mug.
Ah, okay, coffee
mug. And that was the whole thing, was just to get a kind of a twist, the John Wesley Hardin Secret Society. Because they used to meet secretly out there. And so I think that was fun to carry on. So now people, it was just more of a marketing catch.
You don't have
else.
To put coffee in it, do you?
Well, no. We could put something with your coffee.
Well, if you're at the cemetery, you have to.
Okay.
Because there's no alcohol allowed.
Oh, of course. No.
Current things.
Of course
but
not.
But what's in your flask is your own business.
Yeah, it's private.
And you don't show it.
We got to take another break here. Patricia, are you going to end up at Pepe's today?
Of course.
Pepe's today. Go there and be square. And Miss Moreau's Beulah will show up.
Yes.
Indeed. All right, we'll see you out there, I think. Life goes on. Taking a break here. Call us up if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession, and he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
You know, I used to think that Medicare was one big complex mystery. What's covered? What's not? Then I made one phone call to United Healthcare and got the answers I needed. In one call, I learned I could combine my Medicare coverage into a single plan for little or no extra money. With the AARP Medicare Advantage Plan from United Healthcare, I get more coverage than original Medicare. My prescription drugs are included, plus other great benefits like dental and 24/7 virtual doctor visits with zero copays. Plus, it's the only plan with the AARP name. So if you're turning 65 or have questions about the mysteries of Medicare, make that one call to United Healthcare at 1-855-283-2895. That's 1-855-283-2895. 2895 or go to getuhcmedicaretoday.com.
Paid actor portrayal. Benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. United Healthcare Insurance Company pays royalty fees to AARP for the use of its intellectual property. AARP and its affiliates are not insurers. AARP does not employ or endorse agents, producers, or brokers.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, here we go. This week only in El Paso, Inc.
A new Center for Jewish Life opens in West El Paso at the end of the month, and synagogue leaders hope the new space can be a spiritual outlet for the community.
Also in the Inc., local businesses are fighting for survival as federal rescue money dries up and the pandemic wears on. New Yelp data shows over 120 El Paso businesses have permanently closed in El Paso.
Fall fundraisers join the list of things impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, and local nonprofits are reformulating their signature annual events.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
The pandemic triggered concerns and concerts, movies, and other forms of entertainment to either cancel or postpone events. It's also forcing the entertainment industry to think outside the box. Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, host Saul Sines talks to El Paso promoters who are working to bring big-name artists or hold drive-in movies in large venues in El Paso.
What are some of the challenges? Saul's guests answer that question and let you know what you and your family can enjoy in the middle of the pandemic. ABC 7 Extra airs Sunday evenings after ABC 7 at 10.
They can put these in the Walmart parking lots.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Way cool. Hey, speaking of way cool, Patricia, how are you?
I am just great.
So what else you want? What, you got something?
I wanted to bring up the Shady Lady Storytellers because I just stumbled across a story about you doing something out at Deming way, way, way back. But, I mean, it's just kind of one of those cool things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
tell us about your multiple personalities.
I was doing Bronco Sue out in Deming. I think that's one.
Yeah, it was Bronco Sue.
And it was a historical group that asked me to come out there. So I first took Bronco Sue. That might have been the first time I promoted her out there. But I do what's called Scandalous and High-Spirited Women of the Old West. And that I started doing that because as part of Six Guns, we would be invited to perform, and then would be standing around waiting for the show to start. So I would stay in character and talk to people.
Well, you get a kick out of that.
I do. It gives, you know, I have a really weird sense of humor, and I've grown up in all these historic places. I've had relatives who've lived in them, and I've had a chance since my interest really came up to explore and to learn all about the actual places where, like Hardin's stomping grounds. I've been to all of those places. I've met the people in descendants. I've gone to the private pasture where Jane Hardin, Hardin's wife, first wife, is buried with her family. But through my family members, I've been able to explore all that. And this is in Karnes County, mostly DeWitt and Karnes County, Gonzales. And it's right in the area where the Taylor-Sutton feud happened. It's where the people came out in 1995 to steal Hardin's remains and take him back to that little town of Nixon.
How come that didn't work?
Well, for one thing, we got wind of it early and alerted different people to happen. And the Paso del Norte Pistoleros, armed in their
guns were standing around the site when the folks tried to come and get it. The bottom line was we got an injunction right away, and then it went to trial. And we won the first round, they won the second round, and we won the third round. And based primarily on the fact that the person who claimed to be the official grave digger, the caretaker, the official caretaker of Concordia Cemetery, was in fact he is the certified grave opener and closer. He is not the official caretaker. There is no such thing. And there were a number of reasons, but we were able to convince them. Basically, we had more money and more guns behind it.
And didn't you also put a concrete slab across the top of him?
Yes, we did.
Making it harder?
Did. Oh, yes. And then in 1998, the Texas Historical Commission made it a historical spot, and we have a marker there. And then in 2003, we unfortunately had to make the decision to put an enclosure around it because people were stealing parts of they did. They stole the entire marker. They chipped it away.
Oh.
We had one letter left. And so we checked out. I visited Clay Allison's grave in Pecos is the one that really I modeled this enclosure after. And so we had some donations from the community service workers and were able to do this wonderful, wonderful enclosure, which is kept. It's kept. There's only one key. Miss Beulah has it.
Is that right?
That's right.
And we know where she keeps it.
You have to search me.
And is that an invitation or a dare?
That's
a warning.
Remember.
Yes, Beulah. We'll see you at lunch, Beulah. We got one more segment coming up. We need to take another break here. Patricia Kidney's on the phone here. Got all kinds of interesting stuff. And we'll take a break, come back. And Facebook is
active. Yeah, go to
Facebook.
Yeah, I got active up. I've got a picture of Bonnie. I'm going to have Patricia up shortly. And also just some links to the Six Guns of Shitty Ladies Gunfights of the Old West, that video up there. So we can check that out if you'd like to watch it. And just other things I'm just posting as I'm going along.
And Sammy Sanchez on the email and wants to know, he said that the Landmark people were instrumental in the renovation of buildings.
Oh, he's talking about the Landmark
Commission.
Yeah, they still exist.
They judge on that stuff. Bill Latham, he thinks, was involved in that back in his day.
Yeah, a lot
of
different people, yeah.
And Sammy's talking to us on email, ephistory690@gmail.com. You can do that as well. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549. El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
If the next step for your business is finding a high-impact hire, try Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. Indeed will even give you a $75 credit for your first job post at Indeed.com/high-impact. Terms and conditions apply.
President Trump is fighting back, but he needs fair and honest media. That's why millions are tuning into Newsmax TV. You can, too, and see Newsmax's great shows like Greg Kelly Reports. Every weekday night, Greg Kelly rips the media's hypocrisy. Don't miss Greg Kelly Reports tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, watch Sean Spicer's new show with the best insider info from the White House. And this week, Newsmax talks with David Horowitz, the author of the number one bestseller, Blitz, the book that exposes the billionaires trying to stop Trump. Plus, see Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, Steve Bannon, and more. Everyone is talking about Newsmax TV. Find out why. Watch Newsmax on DirecTV 349, Xfinity 115, Dish 216, Spectrum, Cox, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Mediacom, WOW, and more. Or just check your cable guide. Newsmax TV is now America's fastest growing cable news channel. Watch it today because it's real news for real people.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a podcast from the world's smartest and funniest comics and writers. It gets you caught up on the news without grinding you down.
There's so many like simultaneous threads of history that I feel like are coming together at once that I'm like, which one am I going to
pick? Yeah, let's live through all the history at once.
It sounds like a TikTok challenge. Live through all the history at once challenge.
Twice a day, they tell you everything you need to know about American culture without crushing your soul. Listen to The Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Just to let you know, Jim Tolbert is doing a lot of hikes and stuff, and they start in September. And that's a celebration of our mountains. Get a hold of DiegoTolbert@gmail.com. DiegoTolbert@gmail.com. Ring up his phone. Freak him out. 525-7364. Hello, is this Jim's pocket? Yeah. 525-7364. Celebration of Our Mountains, a 501c3 organization. Yes. And Keystone's open, right?
Well, yeah, Keystone's open every day, Sunday through... let me back this up. I had two words jumping in my head. It's open 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. every day but Monday.
Your
How's that?
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Also, I want to point out, we do sweet and petite weddings, which are a lot of people have been stalling off their weddings because the courthouse has been closed. And come out to Keystone. Have your little small wedding done right there at Keystone at the Gardens, and specially priced. And give us a call at 915-584-0563. And have your small wedding there. Have a small reception.
You can marry people that don't even know each other.
And just come out and walk the gardens. It's a great place.
Ah, yes, indeed. And Beulah.
Beulah.
How's Beulah doing?
Oh, Beulah's just really excited about all this. And, you know, there was a song written about Beulah.
Oh, really?
By Cliff Seaman.
Oh, that's right.
And one of the phrases here is, she'd toss her blonde hair and she'd dance in the night. She laughs, oh, how she'd carry on. Make my spurs jingle and love me for life.
Oh, my.
At least until my money was gone.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's Beulah.
Well, I like the jingle.
Was, you know, she was a good match for Hardin, and I think it all worked at a time. But in Hardin's defense, he was a product of the, after the Civil War, the Reconstruction days, and you need to study that to get a real good idea of what it was like after when the state police took over Texas.
Yeah.
Well,
and he was one who just stood up, wouldn't run. He was loyal to his friends. And according to all the pillow talk, he just never killed anybody who didn't need killing.
If they needed it, there he was.
Well,
by the way,
right.
We want to thank people that have looked at us today online, Jaime Copenbarger and Mark Flores. They're looking at us on Facebook, having a good time.
And questions and conversations going back and forth. That's great.
Let me ask you something. Turn back into Patricia for a minute. That's hard to do. But if you don't mind, look at El Paso history. You know a lot about other parts of Texas history. Look at an overview of who we are. I think, and I tell people on this program, that we are one of the most historic corridors in the entire country for what's gone on through here. How does it look to you? Because, like I say, you've seen a bunch of other Texas history and looked into it.
Well, first of all, El Paso was the crossroads. Everybody came through here, either east going west, you know, for the gold rush. People were very interested in that. And then the north-south trade before the gold rush even started.
Yeah.
It was the trade from the United States up in Missouri going into Mexico. we were the crossroads for this. And then as progress started bringing the trains, then that brought people who had a lot of oversight or vision about what El Paso could be. There was the mining, you had the cattle, you had all kinds of things in Mexico and this area of Texas. So it brought all these people together, military, businessmen, cattle, cotton, and then the farmers. It's a very important nucleus, I think, of our history. And it's something we cannot just have swept under the rug. We're like a crazy quilt. All facets of our history come together, and we need to be the binding that holds it together. And that's what I think this radio show is. You're the binding that allows all these little segments to talk about it and promote it. We don't need to dismiss it. We don't need to rewrite it. History is what it was.
Yeah, we don't have to.
It's who we are today.
And you don't have to like it, but you can't get rid of it because it's not yours to do. It's not yours to get rid of. The thing about El Paso is it's a very unique place and a very unique organization. What we do is kind of unusual and unprecedented. We've been doing this for a long darn time. But
yes, we have.
What if the county and the city took up the idea that we could be promoted for who we are from our history? We don't need a Sea World. We don't need extra stuff like that. Just promote the authentic El Paso history, and you would see economic development change once we can travel and visit again. I think that's going to happen. I hope so. But the point is, I think a lot of people who drive through here would find a reason to stop here. And the gunfight stuff is just part of it. It's just, it's the way it goes.
Well, and it's a shame because people do stop here to look for our Old West history, and they're like,
where is
it?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in the world practically knows about El Paso from the song,
the Marty Robbins, yeah.
Exactly,
right.
And movies, and yeah.
Well, we'll do what we can. There's so many topics around here that could be made into movies. We went over about a dozen of them today on a radio show. Patricia Kidney, thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's been a hoot. Now, you're going to jump in the car and head to Pepe's, right?
Oh, yeah. Beulah says thank you.
Beulah. Thank you so much, Beulah. Melissa Sargent, we do this again next week?
I think so. We've got some people coming in, so they got to be here.
Got to come back next week and talk to Adair Margot, First Lady of El Paso, about the Lydia Patterson Institute. Yes. And a whole book she's got there.
And happy anniversary to my husband, Bernie Sargent, again.
Yes.
Indeed. Happy to you. And we got one tomorrow, Wendy and
that's
I.
That's right.
Another one tomorrow
and
on August
too,
the 9th.
Yes.
And see, we're an anniversary also of Richard Nixon, so that's easy to remember. Ah, yes, indeed. All right, see y'all next week on the El Paso History Radio Show. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.